It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome in. A Wednesday edition of the show in progress. I am your host, Cole Bear. It is November 8th of 2023. The high school state football playoffs resume today at the Unidome. A couple of eight-player semifinals, and I'll bring you the details coming up here shortly, of course. Area sports news and scores, as always, we'll lead off the show in a few short moments. But appreciate your attendance very much, no matter your tunage. Could be 1650 AM, 102.3 FM on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Make sure you follow us on X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on X at Real Cole Bear. Like our Facebook page. If you're on the Zuck machine, type in 1650 The Fan. You'll find us, and then just hammer that like button. You'll get more local and statewide sports content into your Facebook feed. And if you want to go to the source, bookmark 1650thefan.com. That's where the local and statewide sports content exists, including the podcast of this show, other audio on demand, as well as today's Waterloo Blackhawks Minute, for example. Number to dial, save it in your phone if you ever feel compelled to add to the program with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or 800-913-9479. You could email the show if you'd rather do that than call. By all means, fire away. Just know I might read your email over the air. Questions, comments, maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. Don't be shy. Email address is Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. All right, coming up today on the show, as I mentioned, we'll get to area sports news and scores here in just a little bit. After we're done there, we'll take timeout number one, get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as a forecast during that timeout. We'll come back on the other side in segment two, and we'll check in with the coach, ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman will join us in the next segment of today's show. Follow Coach on X at K Lehman Sports. That is K-L-E-H-M-A-N Sports on the X machine. We're going to look back on what we have now, which is season openers in the book for Iowa State, Iowa, and UNI. The Hawkeyes get a big win last night at home against North Dakota. UNI comes up just short on the road in overtime against North Texas, the reigning NIT champs. So we'll talk plenty about both of those games today on the show. We'll talk about Iowa State's season opener on Monday when the Cyclones beat down Green Bay 85-54. And we'll see if Coach has got anything else that's on his radar here as we are now on day three of the college basketball season. It's been nice being able to go home and turn some basketball games on. It's bittersweet because you know the weather that is soon to arrive by nature of it being basketball season. I'm not about it, but I am about basketball season. So have enjoyed that very much so far. And very much looking forward to talking hoops now that we got games to talk about with the coach, Kevin Lehman, coming up in the next segment of today's show. After we're done with the coach, we'll take a timeout near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim during that break. Come back on the other side in segment three, and a smorgasbord of audio awaits us all. Fran McCaffrey, Ben Jacobson, Matt Campbell, and if time permits, even from some Iowa State football players, as the Cyclones have a late kickoff on Saturday night in Provo, Utah. It's going to be an 8:15 in Utah local time kick, so that's 9:15 here back in Iowa. 7:15 pregame. That game's going to be over on Cruising KCFI Saturday night, 1250 AM, 105.1 FM, Cruising KCFI app, or the KCFIRadio.com stream if you're looking for that game on the radio Saturday night. But we'll hear all that audio coming up in the third segment of today's show. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, then come back for a final time on a Wednesday and wrap up the show. Just some quick thoughts before I get into the details on Iowa's big win over North Dakota, North Texas, just, you know, squeezing this one out against UNI in overtime last night. Starting with the Hawkeyes, I think a few things that really jumped out at me, kind of similar to Iowa State, where you got a freshman forward who, in a sense, steals the show. 6'11 freshman Owen Freeman, who David Eicholt has told us on the show, is the backup five behind Valpo transfer Ben Cricky, and that they really like this young guy, Owen Freeman. Well, he plays 15 minutes off Fran McCaffrey's bench last night and scores 14 points. And so this is something to keep an eye on. Coach Lehman will be able to tell us more coming up in the next segment of today's show. You got what you needed from Peyton Sanford last night, going over 20 points in that game. And I'm curious, you know, 110 points, that's, I don't care who you're playing. It's not easy to put 110 up in a college basketball game. So it looks like, once again, Fran McCaffrey's got an offense that is to be reckoned with. It's just a matter of, can Iowa get the rebounds that they'll need and the stops when they need them to be a team that's going to be in the top half of the Big Ten, get yourself a nice seed. First of all, get into the NCAA tournament and have a nice seed so you can have a chance to finally, if you're Iowa, win a game in that NCAA tournament for the first time in a long time and make some noise. But as far as last night's UNI game, I don't say what you will. I don't frankly give a damn. Couple really tough calls against the Panthers late in that game last night, one of which was Titan Anderson's fifth foul. That completely changed the game. And then what I thought was a jump ball was called a foul. That gave North Texas a couple free throws to go ahead late in that game. But then again, I mean, you know, it's not always going to be, in most all cases, you can never say it is the official's fault. That wasn't the case last night. Bowen Bourne struggled shooting the ball last night. The transfer center, Jacob Hudson, was 4-10 from the field. I'm sure he would say that at least a couple, maybe three of those shots that he didn't make should have gone in. He should have made them. So UNI played well last night. North Texas played well last night. That's what I put out on the X machine that, man, you know, however this game ends up, I think at halftime I'm like, however this game ends up, so far it looks like these are two really good teams that if you're going to play them this season, you're going to have your hands full. We'll see how that turns out. But UNI, I thought, you know, short of winning that game, I do still feel like they lived up to what the Missouri Valley Conference voters, which includes myself, had them at number two in the preseason poll. And then North Texas, it's interesting, going from Conference USA last season to the American Conference this season. I think they were picked sixth in that preseason poll, despite being 31-7 a year ago, despite winning the NIT. I think North Texas has got as good a chance as any team in the American, you know, toward the top of that preseason poll to win that conference. They're a good team. They are a really good, long, athletic, defensive-minded team that played some really good offense last night as well. So it was a really nice, as far as, it was a really good basketball game to watch. It really was. And it'll be interesting to see how the Panthers move forward. I think I don't think this is going to set them back at all. I think they're going to have a lot of success throughout the non-conference, and we'll talk more about it, as I said, when ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman joins us in the next segment of today's show. All right, let's go ahead and dive right in here. Man, tough loss for Gladbrook Rhinebeck today in an 8-player state playoff football semifinal. Bedford's Case Coleman. Gladbrook Rhinebeck was going up against Bedford, the Bulldogs, and Bedford's Case Coleman hit a game-winning 24-yard field goal with 13 seconds remaining to defeat Gladbrook Rhinebeck 31-30 in that 8-player semifinal at the Unidome this afternoon. Gladbrook Rhinebeck was up 16-8 at halftime. The Bulldogs outscored the Rebels 23-14 in the second half for that comeback win. Gladbrook Rhinebeck finishes its season 10-2. Congratulations to the Rebels. Not how they wanted it to end. Tough loss today, but an outstanding season. And thanks again to Coach John Olson for being so kind to come on this show throughout the season multiple times and talk about the success the Rebels were having. Bedford is now 12-0 and is in the 8-player championship game where it will take on Bishop Garrigan, who defeated Winfield Mount Union 34-20 earlier today. Kickoff of the 8-player championship game is at 9:30 a.m. next Thursday. Two area schools will meet in a Class 1A high school state playoff football semifinal this Friday morning. Waterloo Columbus Catholic takes on Grundy Center Friday morning at 10 at the Unidome. It's a rematch of a Week 5 regular season game that Grundy Center won 21-14 at Columbus. The Sailors are 9-2. Spartans are 11-0. You can hear all the coverage right here on The Fan. Pregame show with Mark Simpson begins at 9:30 Friday morning. The high school football playoff matches taking place, of course, right now, the semifinals. All 21 games at the Dome are streamed exclusively on the Iowa High School Sports Network, but the Iowa High School Athletic Association is fighting for free access to those streams. The association filed a lawsuit earlier this summer to challenge the streaming fees. It released a statement Monday urging fans to support schools in person. The Iowa High School Sports Network has a statement about the lawsuit posted on its website saying the fees help keep the streams available on a pay-per-view basis. A trial for the lawsuit is scheduled for April 16th of next year. Cedar Rapids Kennedy offensive lineman Nick Brooks, who verbally committed to Iowa back in September, has opened his recruitment back up. The junior announced the news on social media yesterday. He's received offers from Michigan, Alabama, Georgia, Texas, and others. 24/7 Sports lists the 6'8", 385-pound Brooks as a 4-star prospect, ranking among the top 200 players in his class. As I touched on earlier, Iowa defeated North Dakota last night, 110-68. All five Iowa starters scored in double figures in that season-opening win at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. Iowa shot 53% in the first half, was up 56-32 at the break. Peyton Sanford led the way with 21 points, 13th straight season-opening win for Iowa. Former Waterloo West standout Amar Kuljevic scored 6 points and grabbed 7 rebounds for North Dakota in that losing effort. North Texas scored the first 6 points in overtime as the Mean Green held off UNI 83-77 last night in the Panthers' season opener. North Texas was up 38-36 at halftime, led by 11 with just under 9 minutes left. UNI made a rally. I think it was a 14-0 run, but the Mean Green tied the game with a pair of free throws with 27 seconds left. UNI missed a pair of close shots in the final seconds on the final possession, and the game went into overtime. UNI was led by Nate Heisey's 20 points. Landon Wolf, the former Tiger, added 18 points off the bench. UNI is back in action on Tuesday when it plays host to Loras. And the Wartburg wrestling team will begin its 2023-24 season tonight. The second-ranked Knights travel to Indianola to take on Simpson in a dual meet at 7. Wartburg is the preseason favorite to win the American Rivers Conference. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast for the rest of this Wednesday, looking into tomorrow and Friday. We'll come back on the other side. We'll talk college hoops with the coach, Kevin Lehman, ESPN college basketball analyst. That's next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
Here's Dan Beyer.
Ron Washington is the new manager of the Angels. New York Post, the first to report that the Braves coach will take over in Southern California. Washington spent 7-plus years as the Rangers skipper about a decade ago, leading the team to the World Series in 2010 and then again in 2011. Tommy DeVito's been named the starting quarterback for the Giants in their Week 10 matchup against the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, I'll be able to run the plays that we're going to be running on Sunday, you know, and I won't be doing all the scout team things that I will be doing, so I think I'll be more prepared and comfortable in that aspect. But as far as like the mental, the meetings, everything else that goes into it, it's going to stay the same.
Giants also signed veteran Matt Barkley to serve as DeVito's backup. No practice today for Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase, out because of that back injury. Niners left tackle Trent Williams didn't practice today. Defensive coordinator Steve Wilks will coach on the sideline for the Niners Sunday in Jacksonville. Tonight in the NBA, Zion Williamson won't play for the Pelicans as they take on the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Cole and Company with Colbert. Weekday afternoons from 5 to 6 on The Fan.
The Cedar Falls School District is proud to announce their semifinalists in the 2024 National Merit Scholarship Program. Lucas Englund, Saria Kalala, Wesley Kitzman, Sai Pranav Koda, Edward Lynn, Elliot Purdom, Hayden Riley, Prom Sampat, and Abigail Slawinski. Asa Posey was named a National Merit Commended Student. About 95% of the semifinalists are expected to attain finalist standing.
Yeah, it does.
And approximately half of the finalists will win a National Merit Scholarship. To become a finalist, the semifinalist and a high school official must submit an application detailing the student's leadership abilities, service to the community, employment,
and
honors
and
awards received. The semifinalists must have an outstanding academic record, be recommended by a school official, write an essay, and earn stellar SAT or ACT scores.
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
Want your home's furnace to stay safe
and
reliable?
Well, we gotta make sure we do that.
And want to prevent any potential problems before they happen? At your local 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning, we recommend an annual furnace inspection and tune-up. Call 855-1-HOUR. Because not taking care of your furnace, that's just cold.
Your comfort is just a call away. Call 1-HOUR.
Terms and conditions may apply. Call for details. Independently owned and operated. Licensed in the respective state or county.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
The best way to start betting smarter is to sign up for a free VSiN subscription at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe.
Now the basketball action tonight, the Drake Bulldogs in action at the Knapp Center. They're 12.5-point favorites against Lipscomb, the total 144. In the NBA, the Chicago Bulls, a 1-point home favorite against Phoenix, 222.5 the total at United Center. Kevin Durant scoring prop bet on the board, over under 30.5 points, minus 115 to the over. DeMar DeRozan for the Bulls, over under 20.5 points, that is shaded to the over, minus 120. College football Saturday, it's Iowa State, a 6.5-point road favorite at BYU, while Iowa lays 2 against Rutgers at Kinnick Stadium. Mike Sennett, 1650, The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows level off around 35 tonight, under clear skies, winds out of the northwest, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Bright sunshine again tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 53. Lows level off around 29 tomorrow night, mainly clear skies. Mainly sunny skies and calm Friday, with daytime highs approaching 47. 52 Saturday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 55.
Cole and Company with Colbert on 1650 The Fan and the 1650 The Fan mobile app, and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Yeah, welcome back. Wednesday edition of the show rolling on, and we're talking hoops. And the coach, Kevin Lehman, ESPN college basketball analyst, joins us now. Iowa State, and you and I have all had their season openers. Drake has theirs tonight at home against Lipscomb. So we're going to talk all about it with the coach. Thanks for being here, KL. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great, man. It's starting already. Big week, and as you like to hear, I'm getting my bags packed because Sunday morning at 5 a.m. on the flight to the Virgin Islands.
Oh, man, it's a tough job. Somebody's got to do it, though.
I've been cramming. Brad Wells and I have been cramming teams, 16 teams. It's not all fun and games here.
Yeah, you've been cramming your suntan lotion in your bag. That's what you've been doing. All right, let's dig right in here. There's a lot I want to talk about. Let's start with Iowa. A 110-68 win last night against North Dakota. 21 from Peyton Samford led the way for the Hawks. But, Coach, it looks like once again, Fran McCaffrey's got an offense to be reckoned with.
You know, I watched them twice now in person, and I just can't get a good handle on this team. They can score points, and they can score in a hurry. But I'm trying to figure out what's going to happen when you get in Big Ten play where it becomes more half court, more physical. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, in the open court, this is an explosive team. And his three freshmen or four freshmen, these dudes they are not intimidated by the moment. Of course, he'd been at home. Let's see what happens when they go to Creighton and play in front of 17,000.
Yeah, I want to ask you about these freshmen. The 6'10", 6'11 kid from Illinois, Owen Freeman, he comes off the bench as the backup five. He won that battle over Evan Bronze, the former Iowa City West standout who had transferred in from Belmont. Freeman scores 14 and 15 minutes off the bench, and from what I have heard, not a lot, they really like him. Obviously, he won that backup five battle, and he's got some skills that not all fives have. What can you tell us, Coach, about Owen Freeman?
He does not wow you with athletic ability, but he's just a smooth basketball player, has a great feel for the game. You've been around these guys. He can score in and out. You can't speed him up. Soft hands, can finish around the rim, can make plays passing the basketball. I really like him. He's got a huge upside with the Hawkeyes, and you know, you put another 10 pounds of muscle on his upper body, this kid might be an all Big Ten player by the time it's done.
Interesting. That sounds like quite the prospect. Ladji Dembele, I think maybe I got that right. 8 points last night, hit a couple threes. He's got size and athleticism and seems like a guy that Iowa may well really use because he seems like he's built to rebound.
Cole, he may be the find of the decade. This is the type of guy, you've seen these guys. He looks a little slow and pudgy, long arms, got the Charles Barkley butt, big thighs, but this dude can play fantastic feel for the game. He knocked in some threes. He can block shots. He's going to lay his body on you and just wear you out. This is another freshman that's going to be a really good player for the Hawks. They're going to help this year, but this freshman class is really talented group that Fran McCaffrey brought in.
Interesting stuff there with that freshman class. Be fascinating to watch how those guys develop throughout the season. Meanwhile, DeSante Bowen in the starting lineup, 12 points, 5 assists last night. I think we've talked before, Coach. Tony Perkins can play point guard, but best suited off the ball. Is DeSante Bowen, does he look ready to really hold that spot down this season and be the point guard that could really help what we're talking about here? Looks poised to be a pretty potent offense.
Well, Cole, from what I'm hearing, it's still a little bit of a battle between DeSante Bowen and Josh Dix at that point guard spot, and they're kind of sharing it right now. Dix brings great size. What concerns me about Bowen is, you know, the lack of physical strength and size when you get in the Big Ten play, but he's a smooth player. He hasn't made many mistakes and can score in the open court. But I tell you what, this team has great depth because you can bring Dix in with 6'6", and he can play the point guard size, point guard position. And here's what I like about this team, Cole. There's no drop-off when they go to the bench.
Yeah.
These dudes are just as aggressive scoring, and that's the strength of this Iowa team is they can literally go 10 deep, and that second group can score as well as the first.
I think Ben Cricke, given how much me and you have both watched him play, having transferred from Valpo in the Missouri Valley Conference, 18.6 rebounds for him against North Dakota, another mid-major, not surprised at all to see another efficient, you know, productive game from Ben Cricke, but it seems like he's going to fall in that category like Bowen, DeSante Bowen, and maybe Owen Freeman, where you're going, okay, but what about against Big Ten opponents?
Well, we don't have to wait for Big Ten. We've got the Gabbett Game Challenge where they go to Creighton next week where he's going to go against Ryan Kalkbrenner. 7-1 the Defensive Player of the Year in the Big East. We'll find a lot about the front line of Iowa in that game. But you and I know Ben Crick. He's a fifth-year guy, great young man, quiet 18 in 23 minutes, really skilled, knocked a three in. I like his game. He's going to need some help at that five spot. Can the freshman do it for him when it gets really physical? I don't think we're going to know much about this team until next week when they have that game against Creighton.
ESPN College Basketball Analyst Kevin Lehman, our guest right now on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company. Follow Coach on X at K Lehman Sports. North Texas, the reigning NIT champions who won 31 games a season ago, need overtime to beat UNI in their friendly confines of the Super Pit in Denton last night, Coach Lehman. There's a lot to take from this game. I think the one thing I'll say for now is it was just a damn good basketball game to watch. What's front of mind for you looking back on the Panthers coming up short against North Texas last night?
Well, I'm with you. I thought it was a really good game. The Panthers got down by double figures to show they could come back. Heisey, I had that exhibition against Cohen. That's why I highlighted. I said, let's see how Heisey transforms after that year off, because I know this young man is really hungry. I talked to him media day. When you take basketball away from a person like that, they cherish every moment. He had a huge game. But I tell you, in the retrospect, that's a huge loss. It's a lost opportunity, Cole, because this is a team, North Texas, that won the NIT. Of course, Tyler Perry, their best player, goes to Kansas State. But you know, I called their NIT games last year. It's a beautiful arena, a great campus, a super atmosphere to play in. And I thought the Panthers were going to get one. You know, two calls at the end.
Yeah.
Could have been jump balls, were called fouls, kind of turned the game for them. And, you know, Titan Anderson had to sit in that overtime. They didn't have much chance in that overtime without Anderson in the game.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed out Nate Heisey. I thought he looked really, really good last night. Clutch late baskets, as usual. Good perimeter defense. But, man, you look back on that co-exhibition, and then again last night against North Texas in enemy territory, Landon Wolf filling it up again, 18 points off the bench for Ben Jacobson's team. That would just be big time if he continues to provide the sort of production that he looks poised to here in the early going.
Well, Coach Jake told us he's shot the ball as well as anybody that he's had. And I use the term Jake, or the bus man. Remember Bus from Chuck
Nate Bus
played a few years ago? Yeah, I use that comparison. I asked Wolf if he knew who that was, and he did. Green light to shoot it. And also, I think we got to talk about the guy inside, Jacob Hudson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not really efficient last night, but he gives the Panthers a presence. I think he'll get better as this season goes on. And once you get in the valley, he's going to be huge.
Agreed.
For the Panthers. But Wolf was tremendous last night.
Yeah, Wolf's been outstanding as much as we've been able to see him in the early going here. And I agree with Jacob Hudson. You know, I was saying at the top of the show that as much as the two calls late really affected that game, that Bowen Bourne just had one of the, you know, three or four games he's going to have a season where the ball's not going in for him. And then Jacob Hudson would probably tell you, you know, shooting 4-10 from the floor, that there were two or three of those that he's got to make and he should have made. And there you go. You know, it's never going to be all on the refs. It wasn't last night. Those two calls, say what you will about them. But I agree. I think Hudson's just going to get more and more comfortable as the season goes along. And what stands out to me, you know, Coach Jacobson's talked so much about his ability to do things that you wouldn't necessarily anticipate a guy of his size to do. When he made that dribbling up the floor, one-handed bounce pass on a back cut in that exhibition against Co. I realize it's Co, but to see a guy 6'11 make that pass, I haven't forgot about that since I saw it, Coach.
Well, and, you know, he's got that basketball awareness, but if you look at his history, you know, he played a lot as a backup about 3 years ago, but the last couple of years he hasn't gotten much time. Mm-hmm. So I think this young man who gets more and more playing time, he's going to get better and better for the Panthers. 32 minutes last night. And you're right, he had a couple close-in ones that he missed that I think in a month from now he's going to finish those.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that, you know, and Bourne looked a little bit out of sync last night. Heisey stepped up huge, but and Bourne's going to see that with defenses. They're going to put their best defender on him. They're going to really pressure him. A lot of players around him. You know, they've got some guys got to step up, though. Campbell did not have a very good game.
And, no.
We've got to get some other guys to step up. But, and Duax kind of disappeared. Those are guys that mm-hmm. played big roles as freshmen last year, and you're expecting some huge strides between that freshman and sophomore year.
You know, they looked good last night. There's certainly room to improve. But, Coach, I don't think we can overlook the fact that, you know, Bowen Bourne or Mike Duax a season ago, they were used to playing alongside like seven other guys. Well, now it looks like, you know, Bowen Bourne or Mike Duax, you're going to have to readjust and get used to playing with 9 or 10 other guys on any given night because of how much deeper this team is. And you're not going to be able to do that, you know, right away.
But also to that point, Cole, your minutes are going to have to go down, but they're going to have to be more productive minutes. And you go back to this North Texas team, you know, this is a team that's in the American now.
Yep.
You know, a league that is just right outside the major six conferences. You know, they got stripped a little bit by the Big 12 with some of those teams leaving. So there's been some movement in that league. But it's still a very good league, and it would have been a fantastic road win mm-hmm. for the Panthers. This schedule that Ben Jameson put together is really challenging because, of course, you got Lawrence at home, but then South Florida, a team that beat him at home last year. And then you've got that battle for lands with North Carolina.
Yeah.
Tech and Nova. And then you possibly got, you know, at the other side, you got Stanford, Memphis, Michigan, and Arkansas. Then you got Belmont at home to open league play.
Yeah, it is a tough schedule. They're going to be battle tested by the time they play those two early Missouri Valley games. Let's talk about the Iowa State Cyclones, Coach Lehman, ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman, our guest right now. An 85-44 win for the Cyclones Monday night against Green Bay. And for as much as it's always easy to start out talking about offense and who scored what, a lot of talk about, okay, Coach Otzelberger's got more scores, more perimeter scoring. They're probably going to play more up-tempo. What's that mean for that trademark defense? I thought, albeit Green Bay, not the toughest of opponents, I thought that Kyle Green-engineered defense looked really, really good Monday night.
I don't think you're ever going to see Iowa State leave what they're made of, and that's at the defensive end. They have more offensive weapons this year. They really struggled to find points last year. We saw that in that last game where they where they think they had 40 some. But you got to get used to this name now, Milan Mamchilovic.
Yes,
this dude can score 6 of 7 from the threes, banked one in. This is a big time stretch four man for Iowa State. And, you know, interesting thing is the other guy had more heralded recruit was Omaha. Ballou was just 12 minutes of or 13 minutes of play, had some foul issues. He's got to learn to play in this more physical type of game. But you got like these guards now. Gilbert out of UNLV really yeah. gives him a scoring punch. Lipsy has improved his offense, and that guy's just a baller. Look at his stat line, 12 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists. I'm a big fan of Taman Lipsy.
And Taman Lipsy, one turnover against those 7 assists, and then a lot was made about him working on his 3-point shot in the offseason. He's never going to hunt that shot for himself, but he made both that he took.
Well, you know what else? If you look at the rebounds, 8 rebounds. He was the best rebounding guard in the Big 12. And I think we got to talk a little about Trey King. He's kind of a forgotten guy.
Yes.
I liked what he did at the end of last season. Big time on the offensive glass, mm-hmm. 4 offensive rebounds last night. Get you those second chance opportunities. He might be the unsung hero on this Iowa State team as it goes forward.
Yeah, he's the type of dude, Coach, that no coach in the country would say no to putting him on their roster. That's what I like about Trey King. I will one last thought on the Cyclones, though. Trey King, Mamchilovic, and Hassan Ward, all in that starting lineup for TJ Otzelberger on Monday. And TJ Otzelberger has forgotten more about basketball than I'll ever know. That being said, I saw that starting lineup and I go, does that starting lineup have the foot speed to guard Big 12 backcourts? A lot can change between now and then, but that caught my attention.
Well, I went to their media day and he told me Hassan Ward had a great summer. I see he had a goose egg last night with a couple of rebounds. That might be they got Robert Jones come off the bench, the energy guy. They like him doing that. I'm a little concerned about that 5 spot. I think this team's going to score, obviously, better than they did last year. At the defensive end, you talk about Kyle Green putting that game plan together. they're going to find a way to defend with lots of pressure. And they got more bodies this year, too. Curtis Jones, the Buffalo transfer, came by way of Indian Hills. He started his career there, Minneapolis kid. And I think Omaha Ballou is going to get better as this thing goes on. I mean, he's a top 10 recruit in the country. He just has to learn how to play at this next level.
Yeah, I agree. I think it might take a little while, but Omaha is going to end up being a difference maker for this team. Drake has their season opener tonight, so there's your that'll complete the quartet there. Lipscomb will be at the Knapp Center. Any final thoughts? We've talked about Drake, but any final thoughts on the Dogs ahead of the season opener?
Well, we know that they've got the big guy that you love.
Everybody knows that listens every 5 days, or it's Darnell Brody, coach.
He's got a six pack, man. This dude is, I mean, you won't recognize the body. And of course, you got the best player in Tucker DeVries. But I tell you, keep an eye on Kevin Overton, 6'5 freshman, came out of Sunrise Christian Academy. This kid's got athletic ability. What Drake's worried about right now, they're trying to get connected defensively because he's got some new bodies in there, but they got some depth. I went and watched them practice. I'm impressed. They might be a little bit slow starting in the Valley, but I think when you get back in February, March, this is going to be a team that was picked first in the Valley. They're going to be up there vying for that championship.
Okay. Before I let you go, I learned something last night watching college basketball. I checked in hopes of seeing Rick Pitino losing his season opener against Stony Brook. That was not the case, but I did learn something. One of our old friends is head coach at Stony Brook. Do you know who this is?
Oh yeah, Geno Ford.
I had no idea.
Guy from Bradley,
They showed they did the little coach shot there, and I'm like, oh, I'll be damned, that looks like Geno Ford. So I had to look it up on my phone. I'm like, wow, how about that? Good for Geno.
Well, they played the Panthers a couple years ago. I think he was on the sideline then. And then I'm getting ready for the Virgin Islands, Florida Gulf Coast. Has Pat Chambers, the former Penn State coach,
coaching them.
But we got to bring this. Cole, I got to ask you this one. What about Michigan State? Tom Izzo, we keep anointing him the king. They get beat at home with James Madison, make 1-3 out of 20. What is going on with the Big Ten?
I don't know. Is there maybe something going on with James Madison? Because it doesn't matter if it's their football team or their basketball team. They can't lose at anything right now.
Yeah, they're pretty good, but you shouldn't be able to go into East Lansing and win the opener with all these senior guards. We've been appointing Michigan State as the and Purdue, they're going to carry the Big Ten to finally get another national championship after 23-year drought.
Yeah, that's the
concerned. I'm concerned about the Big Ten.
It's the type of loss that will already start the talk about let's not fall in love with the Big Ten, put too many teams in the NCAA tournament. We've seen what they've done. They've been a dud collectively in the tournament. And who knows, maybe that stink will get so odorous this year, Coach, that it will cost them on Selection Sunday. It's something to obviously worth following closely as this basketball season transpires.
We're going to know a lot more for the Gavitt games because the Big East is going to challenge the Big 12 as the best basketball conference in the land. And when they match up against the Big 10, let's see how that one comes out.
My money's on the Big 12. Coach, great stuff. Great stuff. We'll catch up again.
All right, Cole. You have a good one.
You too. Kevin Lehman, ESPN college basketball analyst. Very kind with his time talking hoops. Went a little long there with Coach. But like I said at the top of the show, it's just great to be watching basketball. And we'll have all four Division I teams in state with a game under their belt after tonight, as me and Coach were talking there. Drake plays host to Lipscomb tonight, so we'll see how that one turns out. But let's take this time out. We'll get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. Come back on the other side. Got some audio to get to. We'll see what all time permits for, but you and I, Coach Ben Jacobson, Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey, Iowa State football coach Matt Campbell, and a little bit more. We'll see what we can get to. That's next, right here on a Wednesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim. Every defense is a difficult challenge for the Iowa offense, and this week will be no different when the Hawkeyes host Rutgers. The Hawks are 7-2 and control their own destiny in the Big Ten West.
You know, we're not really focused on that right now. We're just focusing on this week and Rutgers and trying to get better every day in practice.
That's sophomore tight end Addison Ostrenga. Rutgers is 6-3. Iowa State prepares for its second game against a Big 12 newcomer this season with a visit to BYU under the lights. The Cyclones are coming off a 28-21 loss to Kansas at home. And this will be the first game between these two as conference foes.
I mean, you just got to go off of film, kind of how we prepared with Cincinnati, just do's and don'ts and what we think will work, and then execution. That's really all it comes down to.
That's senior receiver Dimitri Stanley. College basketball tonight, the Drake Bulldog men open the season at home against Lipscomb. This is Radio Iowa.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go.
I just can't.
I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Whether you consider Ball, Kirk & Holm or another law firm to represent you for your injury, it's important to know what to look for. A common misconception is that any lawyer can handle any type of case. While this may be true technically, it is important to find a lawyer that specializes in the type of matter you have. When interviewing a personal injury attorney, make sure the focus is on how they can help you. You're the client and the decision maker. As a client, you shouldn't feel rushed into taking a settlement or feel hurried to sign papers with an attorney. If you feel an attorney's taking shortcuts, like making you get your own medical records or put up a lot of your own money, consider other options. As a full-service personal injury attorney, they should work for you. They should get the medical records. They should ensure all the information is gathered. And they, if they believe in your case, should put full investment of time and resources behind your matter.
For a free consultation, visit BallKirkHolm.com. Ball, Kirk & Holm, helping injured Iowans since 1958.
Tommy's Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today, sign up as a member, and get the first 30 days free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location, plus skip the line. Free mat washes and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash, fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo. Tommy's Express Car Wash, it's your time to shine.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan. The all-new 102 at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan app.
Yeah, welcome back. Wednesday edition of the show continues. And you hear some audio now. We'll start with the UNI Panthers, which, as we've been talking today, came up short, looked good, came up short on the road at a really good North Texas team last night, 83-77 in overtime. And UNI was led by Nate Heisey's 20 points in that game last night. It was Heisey's first game in a calendar year after an injury, kept him out all of last season, and he admitted post-game that, yeah, there were some nerves.
Yeah, I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't a little, you know, nervous to be back out there, because the last game I played was really 1 year ago today, our first game against Richmond, and that was the only game I was able to play in. So just the anticipation of 12 months going into a game, and just grateful for to be back out there, the anticipation of the tip, warm-ups, all that, just so great to be back out there.
UNI trailed by 11 with 9 minutes left in the game before mounting a comeback to force overtime. Heisey talks about the Panthers' resilience against the Mean Green.
I mean, I just, no matter how down we got down, like what you said, 11, like you never were worried, because with how hard we played and how good our defense felt, like that second, last 10 minutes, we got so many stops, and we just continued to get stops, and the way we were hitting shots, crashing the glass on offense, like, I wasn't worried. I knew we were going to get the lead back. So, I mean, did all we could.
Heisey and Landon Wolf both got shots off before the game clock expired, both narrowly missed forcing OT.
Yeah, because Coach mentioned in the locker room we had the ball with, we were going to get the last shot. Like, they weren't going to win that game in regulation. Yep. It was either it was going to go to overtime or we were going to win, and we got two good looks. I'd like to see them. In my mind, I can barely even remember what really happened. But, and then you go into overtime, and you kind of got to flip your mentality back to 0-0. And at the same time, it just sucked because Titan, five fouls. It was just frustrating being out there at sometimes. Just every time they would drive, you thought a foul was coming. So,
after coming up just short against the reigning NIT champs that won 31 games a season ago, Heisey said it proves these Panthers are capable of competing with anybody.
It's just that we can, you know, compete with anybody. This team won the NIT, which is, they were top whatever in the country last year, and a lot of their guys are back. So it just goes to show that we competed, and they shot 50% from three.
Shooting 20% in the second half, so that tells you how good they shot in the first half.
They made a lot of shots, and it was tie game, end of the game, and you just got to take a lot from that. There's a lot to learn, obviously, but I mean, you got to kind of tip your cap to them, I guess, a little bit too.
UNI coach Ben Jacobson praised his defense in that comeback that forced overtime.
Defensively, we were really good. It felt like that last 7 or 8 minutes, all the way down through the the play that Titan mate that he followed out on. He was right where he needed to be on that play, and I thought the ball got loose before any contact happened. So you'd like to see that one let go. But another good defensive possession. On that one, and prior to that, it just felt like we really guarded them good. Like, their possessions got longer, they had a harder time, getting to some spots on the floor. The guys made a really good adjustment to crowd that floor a little bit and make things more difficult for them. That was just like our activity level and the guys making a really good suggestion to play it a little different off the ball. That helped us a lot the last 7 or 8 minutes, and it got us in position to win. Nate's got the ball with, we're going to get the last shot, and he gets a really good look at it, and obviously the ball comes out. Landon's looking right at it. He makes that one a lot. I'm telling you, he throws that one-handed one in a lot. So, two chances to win it.
As you heard Heisey mention earlier, starting forward Ty Anderson fouled out late in regulation of last night's game, and Jacobson says playing without him made things difficult down the stretch in such a tight game.
Yeah, I think the hardest part was our lineup, with Titan out of the game. And obviously we went to Trey, with his, he's got, it throws our lineup off. But his experience in ball handling and passing and shooting, felt like that was going to help us. But then we're off, we're off in terms of being able to get into our playbook and run some things. So we'll talk about it. You probably, when you start overtime, you probably go with Drew right away, to start the overtime. So you've got a guy at that spot, so you can run. Then we can run actions to start that overtime. So, that one came to mind right after, right after the game was over, just because we're so early in the year, we needed to have a lineup out there that we could get in and just run a couple actions to see if we could get a couple easy ones to start the overtime. It was going to – with that lineup, it's going to have to be quick ball screen. It's going to have to be off the dribble. If we have Drew in there, now we can run – we can really run whatever we got in our playbook. So I'd like to have done that. Like to have done that over to start overtime.
And finally, Coach Ben Jacobson on what he found out in last night's overtime loss – about his team.
We found, like I talked about, that defensive stretch, the last 7 or 8 minutes, we found a way to get some things done defensively that really mattered. And then it happened at least three times, maybe four times, Dub, during the course of the game. First half, they got out to a little bit of a lead and had some momentum, and we got tied right away. Down the stretch of the first half, same thing, right? We got it to two at halftime. And then the big one in the second half when we're down 8, then 10, then 12, and you get it to the point where it's tied and you got the ball. So it happened three different times during the course of the game, and each time we were able to get it to where we needed to have a chance in the last one. And that's, you know, that's always good when your team's doing things like that.
Quickly, the Iowa Hawkeyes, 110-68 win over North Dakota last night. It featured 12 three-pointers, and the Hawkeyes showing off their depth. Here's Iowa coach Fran McCaffrey on his team's progress since the preseason.
But our turnovers were down. We out-rebounded them. We had nine different guys make a three. We got a lot of weapons. A lot of guys contributed. I'm really impressed with this effort.
Yeah, point guard DeSante Bowen also said that their depth showed up last night.
We didn't really do five in, five out, but it was kind of five in, five out. That gives the first five a good breather, knowing that we can come out and the next five coming in is going to be able to keep the lead and keep that energy. It takes a big load off of us.
All right, let's take this final timeout. I got to remind you, hey, you can make your week four picks now for Ultimate Pigskin Pick'em Frenzy. Make sure you get them in. Good number already, but there's plenty more to go in terms of our regulars. And if you haven't played, doesn't mean you can't start now. $50 value weekly prizes. You can find more information and where to make your picks all in one spot at the website, 1650thefan.com. You'll see it smack dab right there on the homepage. Click in there, make your picks, maybe win a prize, and have plenty of fun along the way. All right, let's take this final timeout. We're back to wrap it up right after this.
I'm Taylor Bisciotti with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Will Levis era has officially begun in Tennessee. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel announcing that Levis is the Titans' starting quarterback moving forward. The rookie out of Kentucky filled in for Ryan Tannehill the last two games as he's been dealing with an ankle injury he suffered week six against Baltimore. Vrabel says Tannehill will back up Levis going forward when he's healthy. The Rams are signing Carson Wentz, according to NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Matthew Stafford missed last week's game with a thumb injury. Pelissero also reports the Rams are waiving Brett Rippon, who started in Stafford's absence. And Bears quarterback Justin Fields was limited in practice Monday and Tuesday, as he remains day-to-day with a thumb injury that's kept him out the last three games. The Bears host the Panthers tomorrow on Thursday Night Football. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
With its increased efficiency and lower fuel cost, ag producers know propane is better for their bottom line. And now, direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts, like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Take advantage of all the ways that propane is better for your bottom line. Start your application today at propane.com/farmincentive.
Today's highlight is Team Pancho Votivo Seed Treatment from BASF, the official corn seed treatment of the Field of Dreams movie site. And boy, have they racked up the wins this season. From the very beginning, that defense was locked in.
Strike three, you're out!
Corn rootworm, nematodes, aphids, they all brought their A-game to the world's most famous cornfield, but Team Pancho Votivo still pulled out a win. No doubt about it, this team will finish the season on top. Always read and follow label directions.
Saturday on Compass Media Network's coverage of NCAA football. Throw out the records and the rankings because it's a heavyweight showdown in the Big Ten East. The undefeated Michigan Wolverines head to Happy Valley to take on the Penn State Nittany Lions. Hi, it's Greg Daniels. Join LeVar Arrington and me for all the action as these two Big Ten foes battle it out in Beaver Stadium. It's Penn State hosting Michigan. If it's NCAA football, it's right here.
On 1650 The Fan, pregame coverage begins at 10:30.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Scandals are nothing new to college football. Every few years, it seems like a coach is forced to move on after being connected to something shady. This season, that's involved the Michigan Wolverines and head coach Jim Harbaugh. The team is accused of illegally acquiring opponent's signs, and if the reports turn out to be true, Michigan deserves to be punished. But after the NCAA officially served Michigan documents outlining their findings, the Wolverines' Big Ten rivals may have just opened Pandora's box. In Division One football, you're always trying to get an edge. And if that means bending the rules, many programs aren't afraid to do so. After the NCAA's trip to Ann Arbor, it's been reported Michigan has sent out evidence that other schools may be cheating. Ohio State, Rutgers, and Purdue. At this point, nothing's official, and Michigan deserves due process. But if the allegations turn out to be true, other Big Ten schools may have no one else to blame themselves. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Worn-out tires are a danger to you, your passengers, and other drivers. TireRack.com reminds you to inspect your tires regularly. Grab a quarter, stick it in the tread, and if you can see the top of Washington's head, it's time to replace. Go to my page, TireRack.com/Dan. Use the Tire Decision Guide to find the right tires for how and what and where you drive. Choose from the full lineup of Hankook tires and tread confidently. TireRack.com. TireRack.com is the way tire buying should be. What's your favorite part of Football Sunday? The weekend's biggest game? Tailgating? Maybe watch parties with family and friends? Of course not. Football Sundays are all about the food and nothing better than a King's Hawaiian Slider Sunday. Whether it's the original Hawaiian sweet rolls, slider buns, or pretzel slider buns. Soft, fluffy, irresistible. King's Hawaiian, delicious, and built to enjoy with friends and family. A King's Hawaiian Slider Sunday, the only way to enjoy Sunday. Go to the bakery or deli section of your local store and pick up King's Hawaiian and enjoy.
Bust it.
It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show with Cole Bear on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back for a final time on a Wednesday. Got to thank ESPN college basketball analyst Kevin Lehman. Great stuff from the coach. If you missed any of it, podcast will be available shortly in mere minutes at 1650thefan.com. Iowa State men's basketball returns to The Fan tomorrow night. Pregame coverage begins at 6 as the Cyclones play host to Lindenwood. Tip at 7. Tune into Maximum Mornings with Mark Simpson tomorrow from 6 to 8 and get those Week 4 Ultimate Pigskin Pick'em selections in at the website. Do it now. I'm back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.